720 WGN. Welcome to the Overnight. Mark Harmon sitting in for Nick DiGilio tonight. And this is a conversation I've been looking forward to having. I'm being joined right now by Sam Silverstein, who is an accountability expert. And as I'm on my own growth path here, I you know, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, you could do X, Y, Z better, and somehow, some way, I'm getting in my own way. And I also see places in my life where, you know, people that I either A, work with, or B, partner with in relation, where I feel like we could be better supporting each other. I'm sure that there are plenty of people that can relate to this. Sam, first of all, thank you for taking time. We appreciate you jumping on WGN.
Hey, Mark. It's my pleasure to be with you tonight, and I'm really looking forward to talking about accountability and how we can leverage that to be not a negative, but actually a positive, and make it our competitive advantage.
Absolutely. Let's get some edge right here. I mean, we're up in the middle of the night for something. And you're a leadership speaker and accountability expert. Your website is samsilverstein.com. And I was checking out your site today, Sam. There's some great videos on there that are inspiring. Let's just start at the very top of accountability. Like, what do you think if somebody says to you, "Hey, Sam, what is being like accountable to myself in the highest level look like?" I mean, what would you ask them? How would you dive into that conversation?
Well, you know, over the years, I think we've been taught some rhetoric, and I don't know that I agree with most of it, but we've been taught that accountability is punitive, and it's like if you make a mistake, you're supposed to stand up and say it was my fault and it won't happen again. And I don't see that as, that's not accountability. That's being honest, and that's being responsible. And there's a difference between responsibility and accountability, but yet in society and the use of our English language these days, we seem to interchange the word responsibility and accountability a lot, and they're different. And so, first of all, I'd lay it down. You're responsible for things, but you're accountable to people. That report's not going to hold you accountable. But, Mark, you'll hold me accountable. And as I like to say, as a leader in a leadership situation, a true leader doesn't hold people accountable. A true leader helps people be accountable. And so that's one side of it. What you're asking about is the individual side and the accountability to ourselves. And, again, that to me is based on a set of values. And so your accountability is going to have to connect to a set of values that say how you live your life. And so the minutiae of getting something done, I mean, I struggle to get everything on my to-do list checked off, and I think most people struggle to do that. But I think accountability is much deeper than just checking off things on your to-do list.
So the guy that, you know, is trying to get his, you know, his stuff together, if you will, and then for the seventh day in a row, he's 15 minutes late for work, and everyone at his work is an on-time, you know, type A workplace where everybody's ready to go at 7 a.m. And he's thinking to himself, man, why can't I get here? You don't exactly see that as accountability. That's more like you're lacking in being responsible. Period. You haven't even touched the next level. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, right. That's exactly right. Now, there's two things going on. There's your interaction with your peers, the people that you work with, your boss, the people that report to you. There's that situation. And then there's the conversation with yourself in what you just described. And so with regards to the people around you, quite frankly, accountability in an organization, let's work backwards. In an organization, accountability is something that's inspired in the culture. It's not mandated. If I report to you, you can't come into my office and say, "Gosh darn it, Sam, you better be accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable." Because once you start doing that, first of all, that's only going to work for a couple hours. If I don't want to be accountable, I'm not going to be accountable. And the reality is, if I'm not doing my job, if I'm not being responsible for those things that I'm supposed to do, why have you let me stay in the organization? You should have allowed me to go someplace where my behavior is appreciated a long time ago. And so I truly believe that a lot of organizations, they just let people hang out there too long. and they don't get rid of the people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's showing up at 7 o'clock is important, and that's critical because, you know, the team starts at 7 and you can't do your work without me and vice versa, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Then doggone it, if I'm not showing up, why do you let me do that? That means now what's happened is the culture of the organization has become a culture by default. Anything goes. It's not a culture by design. The leadership has lost control of the situation. One of the things that accountability is built on is, you know, accountability is keeping your commitments to people. And some, we have commitments to ourselves, but in an organization, it's between me and you. It's between the people I report to and the people that report to me. Those commitments aren't, I'll be there at 10, I'll have the report done. I mean, that's the stuff you're just supposed to do, period. The commitments go much deeper. One of the commitments, to give you an example, is a commitment to the values. So you talked about individual accountability versus organizational accountability. And a commitment to the values for the individual, it's me committing to the values that I say that I'm going to live my life by. And so, am I living those values or not? And if I'm not living the values, then I'm not being accountable. And the fact that I'm not showing up at 7 o'clock is a minor issue. And so there's specific areas that values should attach to. But I'll give you an example. In my life, I've identified three critical values for me. They're integrity, respect, and significance. And I've defined them in depth. So, for instance, I define integrity as that I make decisions based on the belief that my word is my bond, and doing what is right is always the right thing to do. And I commit to do this no matter what. That's integrity to me. And so if I'm supposed to be there at 9 and I'm not there at 9, you know, I don't know that integrity is showing up in my life. Or respect. If I'm not showing up at 9 and you depend upon me, you know, I define respect as I see all people as equal. I value other people's opinions, appreciate their beliefs, and recognize the importance of their priorities. If I'm not respecting you, then I'm not living my values, and then I lack the accountability to myself to live those values. And so it's deeper than just the minutia of the things, and that's where I take the conversation, because when we understand what the depth of it is, then what happens is we're truly able to get a handle on it at that point. What do you value? What's important to you? Is it showing up in your life? Because if it's not showing up in your life, I might say you don't really value it.
Right.
You might want to value it. You know, you might think it's nice. But if it's not showing up, you can't tell me it's a value. And once you have identified those values and you're living those values, that's when you're moving to accountability.
So there's a lot there. Sam Silverstein.
I know.
I want to talk about the guy that is supremely talented and very smart and super creative, but he's bad at the minutia that he would call it, or she would call it, which I started with, the showing up, the day-to-day, going through emails, responding to people. Like, great at the big idea, can put together a phenomenal package that a business might buy, you know, they can really sell, but the actual day-to-day, which what like I would put it in a sports term, like the person who goes out there and is constantly just refining his task, like just making the layup every day and just getting his form down, if it's a baseball player or whatever, golf, doesn't matter, but can do the big stuff, but is terrible at the little stuff, and then basically impales himself in the process because he's not doing the little things. You understand where
right,
I'm going here,
right,
Sam? Like, he's got...
Exactly. So back it up. I know you're a big baseball fan. You know, you use the baseball analogy. Let's go there for a moment. Spring training this year. I was watching, and on one of the teams, and they had this phenomenal young pitcher. I mean, this guy's throwing 100-plus miles per hour, and he's able to control it. And very early in spring training, they sent him down. They cut him out of the major league camp. And I'm like, what is going on? There's not too many pitchers that have this guy's stuff. And it turns out that what happened was he was showing up late. The it's spring training, and you're supposed to show up at a certain time to do whatever it is you're supposed to do, whether it's to do your individual stretching, physical fitness, before the team goes into team drills. You know the routine. There's a whole day's worth of activities. He's showing up late. They said, hey, that's not how we do it here. And so they sent him down, and he cost himself the opportunity, potentially at that point, of making that major league team. And so that's, look, doing what you're supposed to do is that's the price of admission. There's a million people out there with great ideas. There's a million people out there that can do any job. You and I don't have a corner on expertise or brilliance or whatever. But the reality is, if we're not willing to treat people right, if we're not going to answer our calls on a timely basis, if we're not going to return our emails, then we're not going to succeed in this world. And so that's not really what accountability is. That's just your basic responsibility. If you're not going to do that, go be a hermit on the beach somewhere.
Well, okay, let's talk about a company that has the super talented guy, but yet he's not doing the minutia, or she's not doing the minutia, right? Some people are afraid of confrontation, Sam. They don't want to confront. They'd rather sit in their office and hope that it miraculously gets better. I mean, how do you coach a guy? Like, I feel like the leader in that organization, for him to be actually truly accountable to himself and the organization, you have to build the muscle of, I am going to step in and tell said individual, you have one more shot at this, or maybe they don't at all, and I'm moving on. Like, some people just don't have that.
Okay.
You hear what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I think you nailed the situation. And this is what happens over and over and over and over in organizations. I mean, I don't know if you've ever fired anybody or not, but I work with leadership groups. I work with teams in organizations literally around the world. And no matter who the organization is, I'll say, just out of curiosity, how many of you fired somebody? Well, everyone's hand goes up usually in a group that I'm in, or half the people in the room, if there's some frontline people in there also, which is cool. And so these hands go up, and I go, okay, let me ask you, after you fired it, how many of you had someone come up to you and say something right afterwards? And the hands are still up. I said, what did they say? And in unison, the room cries out, what took you so long?
Right.
But see, the bottom line is, if I'm negative, if I'm not fun to be around, if I'm not doing my job, I'm pulling you down. You're sitting in the desk next to me. I'm not doing you any favors. I'm pulling you down. I'm pulling the culture down. And if the leader allows me to exist in that space, then what happens is the leader is allowing the culture to go south. And the organizational culture is the only thing that separates you from your competition. Because, look, we're on WGN right now. You guys are a market leader. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, right down the road, there's KMOX out of St. Louis. It's also 50,000 clear watt station. There's WSB out of Atlanta, 50,000 clear watt station. You have competition in the Chicago markets as well. And so a radio station's a radio station. What makes you different? Well, your culture makes you different, because your culture is going to say, if it's defined in your values, you're going to tell me four things. You're going to say how the relationships are internal in the organization and how they are externally in the organization. You're going to tell me what your foundational values are, which tells me what the character of the organization is. You're going to tell me what the professional values are, which is what type of work effort is expected here, and you're going to give me your community values, which is going to tell me how are we committed to and how do we support the community that we work in. Now, once you have those values, the question is the leader going to live those values, model those values, teach the values, and make sure that everyone else is doing the same? And that's what you just described. If someone wasn't living a value, and is the leader going to just avoid the confrontation? Or are they going to do something about it? I was in Dallas a couple of years ago, and I was working with a group of people, and I said, okay, your number one salesperson is disrespecting two people on their support staff. What do you do? And the guy in the front row, he goes, And these are all presidents of various companies. He says, oh, I move him to the corner office. That way he doesn't have to interface with so many people. And he thought he was solving the problem. And all he was really doing is saying that, hey, if you produce enough business, it doesn't matter how you act.
Right.
And so our code of ethics, our standards, our morality, none of that matters if you can generate business. And so he's got it all wrong. You know, I wrote a book. I've got a book, one of my books called Non-Negotiables, about a bank, Happy State Bank out of Amarillo, Texas. And that's the real name of a bank. And it's a bank that went in 1990 from one location and $10 million in assets to today. They have over 35 locations and over $3.4 billion in assets. And the CEO of the organization, J. Pat Hickman, he's got a set of values in that organization that they live no matter what. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're the vice president or whether you're a teller. If you don't live the values, you can't stay there, period. And so what happens is you get rid of those people that aren't living the values, and you will reward the people that are living the values. And you create this place where there's a harmony, where people love to come to work, where they want to help each other, where they support each other, and where they want to be accountable. That's getting at the core of accountability.
Sam, let's take a real quick time out. I want to ask you about how we lie to ourselves coming back here. Real quick, Sam Silverstein, accountability and leadership speaker / expert. You can check out his website and you can contact him. SamSilverstein.com at 720 WGN. Back on 720 WGN, continuing our conversation with Sam Silverstein, who is an accountability expert. Sam, let me just talk about myself for a second here. I was a guy that always thought I was special as a kid and didn't have great study habits and watched a ton of Michael Jordan and was great at getting around things. And as I've gotten older, right, I would say that I want to be accountable. I want to be the guy that's always there on time. But I also, like, I'm constantly fighting the battle of, well, it's okay. I did great here, so I don't have to necessarily do as great there. I could show up late. I can take a little bit of a long lunch. And so it's like I'm lying to myself. Like, it's part of me feels like I want to give I'm working on not giving myself passes. So we're talking about, like, great, great accountability in an organization. How would you deal just with an individual who comes to you and just spews what I just said, which it's embarrassing for me to say, but that's if I'm being honest, a lot of the time, or at least historically, like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, you know, it's like I have trouble with some of the minutiae. I'm a big idea person. That's what I do, and I'm not going to be the guy that's going to execute it. And so there have to be other people that execute it, and I know that. That's the way that I work. But that doesn't mean that I don't do my job or I don't fulfill my responsibility or that I'm not reliable. It's just that I know where my strengths are, and so I apply myself where my strengths are. However, there has to be a work ethic. There has to be a standard. You have to know what it is that you believe about who you are and what you want to be and what you want to accomplish. And so those beliefs that you have, when you don't really know what you believe about what's right in life, what you believe about how you should work, when you don't know that, then you're like standing on shifting sand rather than on a concrete foundation.
Yep.
And so as an individual, and that's the key. And you know what? That's not that unusual with someone that's younger versus someone that's been around a little bit more. I think we all need time to find our way, to have some experiences. And truthfully, you know, sometimes we do something maybe we shouldn't. And in that moment, we discover what doesn't work. And it helps to zero in on what does work. But here's what I would suggest. You know, if in that scenario you and I were working together and I was an executive coach to you in that situation, you know, I'd say, Mark, okay, let's sit down and let's spend some time discovering what your values are based on what you believe. And let's look at those values. And I would want to look at those values in four areas. And they're very similar to a business, but it's only on a personal level. I want to know what your foundational values are, which talk to your character as a person. I want to know what your professional values are, which tells me what type of, how you want to perform professionally. I want to know what your relational values are, which is how you, what you believe you, in the way you should be relating to people. And I want to know what your community values are. I want to know how you participate in the community, how you make a difference in this world that we live in, because I believe that's just as important. And in spending time and talking about those four areas, what's going to happen is, you know, in this scenario that you played out, is you're going to come to a realization that, you know what, professionally, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to accomplish. And this is how I want to handle myself. And this is what I want to be known for. And this is the legacy that I want to leave. And a real leader, you know, only has impact and influence. That's it. And the only thing that's left when the leader's gone is their legacy. And you do that through your values. And so I would want to spend time figuring out what those values are, because then really all you have to do is go live those values. And if you really spend the time and you dig into your heart and you come up with the values, foundational values, relational values, professional values, and community values, you're going to create a blueprint of how to live your life. And accountability is never going to be a problem. Now, that doesn't mean that you're good at everything, and it doesn't mean that you're going to like the details. That doesn't mean that, but you know that you're smart enough to know that we have to do what we have to do until we get to do what we want to do. And so if we're living those values, then we're being accountable to ourselves. And in being accountable to ourselves, we're certainly positioning ourselves to be accountable to others around us. And that's what we want. And that's what creates a more accountable world. That's my mission, to help build a more accountable world. We start with individuals. We look at organizations. We work with communities. That's how it's done.
Sam Silverstein, accountability and leadership speaker / expert. Sam, let's take a real quick timeout at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Mark Harmon sitting in for Nick DiGilio. Continuing our conversation with Sam Silverstein, who is an accountability expert. SamSilverstein.com. What would you say to the person who is great, perhaps, at coaching others and seeing other people's flaws and gaps and how to help them fill it in, but they're not great at perhaps at doing it for themselves? They could say, you should do this, but then they don't live by the same thing. That's just not a good leader at the end of the day. But what do you tell that person?
Yeah, because you can't, you know, the old parenting, you know, we've all heard this, do as I say, not as I do. Well, you can't do that as a leader. That doesn't work, because the leader sets the pace. The leader sets the standard. The leader has higher expectations set on them. But what you're describing about is someone that needs a coach. You know, you said they're good at coaching. We all need a coach.
Yep.
We all need a coach, and that's the key. And so when you engage someone to coach you, you know, I have a very dear friend, and we talk to each other on a regular basis, and we know that everything's on the table for discussion, and we help each other in a very sincere and very honest way. And I've hired professional coaches that I work with. Athletes work with coaches. Performers work with coaches. You and I need to work with coaches too. And so I don't see all my faults. My wife sees a few of them. I don't know that she's always right, but maybe she is, you know? And so, yeah, we need to put ourselves in a position, and we need to be open to coaching and feedback. And it's okay if we don't see it, as long as we're willing to allow someone else to see it and we listen to them.
Speaking, I don't have the wife, I have the girlfriend, and I told her that you were coming on tonight, and I asked her if you want any questions asked. She wrote to me, what systems do you recommend implementing when starting a personal accountability system? Do you jive with that question?
Okay, so again, I want to move a little bit. Here's the deal. Yeah. It's a great question. I'm gonna go back to what I talked about around values. I don't think it's systems.
Yeah.
You know, a to-do list. Which app do you have on your phone that's your to-do list? Are you using Things or Getting Stuff Done or you know, that That's a to-do list. It's not accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability is not a way of doing. Accountability is a way of thinking. And specifically, it's how we think about people. And so society sees and thinks about tactical accountability, and I'm more focused on relational accountability, because when the relationships are in place, I'm not going to want to let you down. It's like, you know, you asked me if I would come on your show tonight. Well, I don't want to let you down. And so the deeper the relationship, the more likely that someone's not going to let you down. So build those relationships. Build deep, meaningful relationships at business, in your personal life, in the community. Those are going to pay rewards. And what you're going to discover is you're not going to want to let those people down. And when you don't let them down, they're not going to want to let you down. And then the second thing is, like I said, have those values. And then review those values every morning. And then think about during the day, how are the values showing up? And if they're not, then you need to stop and evaluate the decisions that you're making and get back on track. Or mark the value off. Don't tell me it's a value if you're not living it, because otherwise you're just lying.
Yep, yep. So you've got a bunch of books out here, Sam. Non-negotiable, No Matter What, The Lost Commandments, No More Excuses, The Success Model, Making Accountable Decisions. What do you, if for somebody who's just checking you out for the first time and they wanted to order a book from you, which one would you recommend?
Wow, that's like saying, which one of my children are my favorite? It's a great question. And I would say that the two books that I would look at right away would be, if I had to nail it down, Non-Negotiable, which is about Happy State Bank and the CEO, who is an amazing leader, and the accountability there is off the charts. That's a great book. My number one seller is No More Excuses, and there's a lot of great ideas in there. It tends to be a little bit more on the tactical side, whereas Non-Negotiable tends to be more about the relational side, and so the two together play really well. So either one of those, you can't go wrong.
That's all right. I got some work to do here, Sam. I appreciate.
Well, hey, you're on the right track. See, you've said, you know what? I want to be better, and that's what it's about first, is making a determination. You know what? I can be better, and that's where I want to be every day of my life. I want to wake up and say, I can be better. And so, you know, you've mentioned the website a bunch of times. There's a free newsletter, a lot of free videos, and a lot of free resources that, you know, I love putting it out there, because our mission is to make a more accountable world, and we can't do that without providing the tools to do it with.
Let's wrap up with this one final question. The biggest issue that you see when you go and speak with corporations and people who say, hey, Sam, will you come help me? What's the biggest thing that you're constantly tackling?
We frequently get calls from leaders that say, will you come in and tell my people to be accountable? And I kind of go, oh, you know, I'm not an accountability hitman. And so the problem is that the leader sees accountability as a way of doing. And the reality is accountability is a way of thinking. And it starts with the leader and how they think about their people. And the clients of mine that understand that it starts with how they think about their people, they eat this up, because it just helps them get better and better and better. And so when you start seeing that people have value, when you start seeing that people are not the problems, but they are the solutions, and when you start building meaningful relationships with people, you're going to see accountability go through the roof.
We're getting to the core. We're looking for, I would almost define that as, you're looking for some purpose. Like, what are you about? And living towards that. I think that, I don't know, I'm sure.
And then be that.
Yeah.
Yes, and then be that. Don't back off of it. And don't back off of it in your company. As a leader, you have the right to say, this is who we are, and we're not going to accept anything less, no matter how you produce.
You could see that on in a corporation. You can see that on a sports team. You get super talented people, and they get passes, and then you're saying that's like a cancer that's floating out through the whole team or the whole organization. You can't have it. It's not even worth the talent if they're not going to live by your model, how you want your place of business or wherever to be. It's really cool, Sam. I like it. I'm on board.
All right. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time, and congratulations, Sam. Word on the street is you're about to become a granddad.
Yep, my oldest. Well, I do have my son has a little 22-month-old.
Okay.
And my oldest daughter is about to deliver, and we're in D.C. right now. Actually, literally, she's in the hospital. We came to get a few hours sleep, and then we're going to go back, and we should have a baby by sunrise.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. Sam, great to talk to you. Continued success to you, and we appreciate you being on WGN.
My pleasure, Mark. Anytime.